Peace and love, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I'm your host, Raven. I use she, her pronouns. And I just wanted to hop on here quick to give a brief little intro for the upcoming episode and speak to just kind of some feelings. So first of all, December 16th at 343 Malcolm X Boulevard in New York, in Harlem, there's going to be a screening of the About the People special feature, Who is Mumia, on Mumia Abu-Jamal. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to Maslow's Documentary Center's website, or you can also find out more on the Spirit of Mandela website. That's spiritofmandela.org. But yeah, so the next episode, I've been trying to do some research to really be able to put a sound and fluid episode. I want to make it really like strong, and it's proving more time consuming than I wanted. And it just, you know, side note, reminds me how much I don't really miss school all that much, but wish that I was in school, because this shit would be nothing. Because when I was in school, this is the just shit you did. But anyways, I should say shit I did, but I've been doing a lot to figure out kind of the history of Europe's wars amongst itself, but also the different threads and points and issues that led to certain contradictions, that led to certain reforms, that led to certain developments elsewhere in the world, and especially that led to the foundation of more colonial empires once again. As colonialism was not new throughout the 1718 and 1900s. But I just want to speak to that. I want to speak to the character of reactionism, the character of brutal inhumanity that went into colonialism, as kind of a source and reference point for why indigenous people, oppressed people, may turn to violent acts in order to free themselves. We're also going to talk about some more of the foundations of Zionism and the state of Israel. We're going to talk a little Palestinian history, and we're going to connect it here to not only the struggle of indigenous people, of African people, but also bringing up the rise in fascism throughout the Western world, and how different oppressed people groups were further oppressed, how they struggled against this oppression, and how the ruling class reacted to those struggles, in order to speak to some of the lessons that we may be able to learn today. But anyways, folks, that's going to be what's coming up next. I am thinking that along with that, I might speak a little bit about the kind of use and economic formulations for colonialism. But that's one of those things where, like, I can talk very broadly about it, but getting into specifics, takes a lot of study of, like, awful fucking history, as in to say, very brutal, very torturous, very disturbing, but also it's just a lot of information. So I'm doing my best, but just wanted to throw this out there because I haven't posted in a minute. I don't know if anyone really cares, but yeah, I just want to get into the groove with things, especially organizing centered and about my like transition before I really can commit to more consistent uploading again. So before I really cap off this quick little moment here, I did also want to say that as we are all going through what has to be a very, very, like, collective traumatic experience, especially those in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Lebanon, in Jordan and Yemen and other places who are Palestinian, who are seeing their brothers, their sisters, their cousins, their uncles, their mothers, their fathers, just being tortured and brutalized as the humanitarian pause, as it was called. If it was humanitarian, it would have been a end to the occupation, because that's really what humanity needs, especially the Palestinian human beings. But nevertheless, we are all really fucking struggling right now, economically, mentally, physically, socially. And as we continue to look for places to go, as far as for advice, for organization, for community, for comfort, let us not continue to turn into ourselves. I know in these moments, like especially for myself, tomorrow will be, I believe, the fourth year since my brother's passing, third year. So the third birthday of his that he isn't around. That, you know, makes me want to kind of draw inward. This struggle between my folks, having to do with my transition, makes me want to turn inward. And a lot of my friends, a lot of my comrades, a lot of folks who are organizing out here, shit, it's hard to not get home from work or from school and, like, immediately want to just go into, like, just complete and utter disconnect from reality, whether that be through video games, whether that be through TV, whether that be through alcohol or weed or something else. You know, we just want to kind of, if not turn off, just tune it down, you know, a little bit. And 9 times out of 10, I think you could knock on just about any door in your neighborhood, and the same thing as far as trying to avoid reality, trying to escape from problems, trying to deal with things, or rather not deal with things as individuals, you would see a lot of the same habits, a lot of the same patterns, and a lot of the same struggles in almost every one of those houses. And especially for those without houses. Up and down the block, you know for a fact that people are doing all sorts of things to be able to avoid what is facing them, which is poverty, repression, possible incarceration, homelessness, trauma, violence, hunger, all these different awful things that no human being should ever have to endure, is the daily life of millions. As we continue to try to search for answers, don't search alone, okay? At the very least, find those you are close with and try, I know it's always hard, but always try to interrogate and introduce new concepts that folks are struggling with, such as the conflict, as it's called, the colonial oppression of the Palestinian people by the state of Israel, or, you know, class struggle, or socialism, whatever. Whatever it is that interests the people around you, that makes them want to fight, that makes them want to do something, be creative, help that to blossom, and do the same for yourself. Take care of yourselves. Get rest whenever you can. Because remember, during war, during genocide, during extermination, you don't have time to go to sleep. You don't have time to hang out with your friends. You don't have time to escape reality. You have to escape reality. You have to either fight, run away, or possibly die. And that is something that I feel a lot of us are scared to reckon with, because that is those of us who aren't having to reckon with it in reality. So all of this to say, remember folks, we are much more capable, much more powerful together. It's not as if we can just come together on some broad idea and we're all going to unite over nothing. But if we begin to come together, if we begin talking with one another, if we begin meeting with one another, if we begin planning things, having demonstrations, educating ourselves, talking to community members, doing all these different sorts of things, having events, we will eventually be able to overcome differences or compromise and work through contradictions or struggle and fight against real antagonisms in order to show the correctness of this or that strategy, tactic, idea, what have you. That can only be done together. That can't be done online, on a podcast, in a book, in your home, on your phone. That has to be done through organizing. And I really believe that our new world, our new future is being born slowly but surely every single day. All power to the people.